our department, but we encourage everyone to go out and read a Black authored book.
Salut, ici Matt Track, vous écoutez CKUT 90.3 FM.
So I just wanted to get like your thoughts. So I just wanted to do like a quick introduction. So if you could just tell me a little bit about what you do, where you work, what your like parcours has been like.
Okay. So my name is Raphael Joseph. I'm 19 years old. I came here in Canada about almost 5 years ago, I think. I came here in like 2017. Yes, 5 years ago. I was 15 when I came here. And then I started going to school at Calixana Valley at Montreal North. So basically when I got here, I was a little bit like introverted a little bit because it was like a new country, a new setup, a new way of thinking. It was like basically, you know, I was like home and at school, home school, nothing else. And then on my second year, I started doing volunteer work with Coup de Pouce Jeunesse Montréal Nord. That's when I really started to get really involved in the society here. So I do a lot of activity with them. I do a lot of volunteer work, like with the elderly. And sometimes we'll be collecting food. Sometimes we deal with the police and we collect food around like primary school to give to other people that are in need. And yes, that's basically what I do in this community.
That's great. And where were you coming from? What country were you coming from?
So basically, I came from the U.S., but I was in Haiti first. I was born in Haiti, then I moved to the U.S., and then I came here after that.
Cool. And would you say that there's like a really big difference like between the U.S. and Canada? Like, what have you found?
Absolutely. There's like a major, major difference. I can say the U.S. is more like a little bit conservative when it comes to the way of thinking. Let's just say about like things just like homosexuality, which is in the U.S. is basically like very conservative, just like in Haiti. They're not very open talking about it, but in Canada, people are like very welcoming about the idea, and then they are supportive, and they have like a lot of, no, I don't know. It feels like a opening society compared to the U.S. It's totally different.
And could you speak a little bit to like the initiative? You were saying that you sometimes work with like community work, like with the police and stuff.
Yes. Basically, it was like one time I actually worked with the police. It was, I think it was in December when we were collecting food around primary school for the people that are in need. So basically we just spent like an entire morning collecting food around with them. It was actually very pleasant. Oh. You know, where we ate with them, and then after that we started collecting stuff, and it was actually fun.
Okay. And would you say that it was like definitely a good experience for them to like practice like community work and like
absolutely
and like
yeah, absolutely, because I won't lie to you, I'm scared of the police. As a young Black man, I'm actually very, very scared.
Yeah, I can understand.
Because a lot of time I'll be like in the street doing like just some jogging or walking around, and then I'll be seeing the police, and then I'll be stopping. Like, I'll be like, maybe I should slow down, you know, because I always wear my hoodie on my head.
Yeah, no.
And my friends be like, stop wearing that goddamn hoodie.
My parents also, my brother's not allowed to do that because anything you do, you get flagged. So it's like,
exactly. So that's why I'm like, I was scared. And then after I did that, actually, it's not that I'm not scared no more. It's just that I found out that there's like better policing, and there's like those community police officers, they're actually very good, and they're actually very nice. They'll be coming to the school very often. And then I had to call one of them once because I had a friend that was in trouble, and then she was actually very amazing. So it actually helped when the police actually be working with the community, because a lot of us are afraid of them. We're like, yeah, Hell of afraid. But if they be doing this kind of community work with the students, with the youth of Montreal North, or with the youth of Canada in general, things could be different. Absolutely.
That's really interesting. So you'd advocate for them to like be more ingrained into the community to like better serve the community?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a really interesting point of view. Really interesting topic. Could you tell me a little bit about like maybe without like having to be too personal, like your experience of Blackness in Canada, and then maybe a little bit about the US as well, and like how it has been different?
Okay, yeah, sure. Blackness in Canada, I can't really tell because mostly I've always lived in neighborhood that are mostly black, Arab community. So basically I don't really face it, but sometimes in the street I'll be facing like being black in Canada. Because I remember once I was walking in the street and then there was this white lady. I was walking behind her, my hoodie on, my music in my ears, and then this lady actually stopped, wait for me to pass, and then after that to walk behind me. So I was like, really, lady? Really? I was like, seriously, no way. I was, oh my God. I couldn't believe it because it was just trauma. I would say it was traumatizing, but it was kind of surprising to actually
Yeah,
be
definitely not great. Like no one needs that, no one wants that.
there. Exactly. And I was like, wow. I wanted to look behind me and then give the lady a look, but I was like, yeah, it's gonna cause more trouble to me. So I'm like, nah, I ain't gonna do that. But I mean, I didn't get much of being black in the community because I actually live in a community where there's like mostly immigrant. So I don't really face the kind of trouble that people be facing when they live in a community that is mostly in a white neighborhood. So I find myself pretty lucky living in a neighborhood where everybody's like, welcoming. And then this community of Montreal North is actually super amazing because when I first came here, a lot of people would be like, look, Montreal North is like really ratchet. It's like a ratchet neighborhood. It's not a great neighborhood and all that. But it might have his trouble. Of course, he has his trouble. Or of course, there's like violence and stuff. But it's still a very welcoming neighborhood where the people is very supportive. And then when I was in the US, also I lived in the neighborhood where it was mostly black people. All that. I always found myself very lucky to live in a neighborhood that I don't really have to face what it's like being a black person. But sometimes the only way I can say I face this kind of thing is maybe like when white people is walking in the street and then they be, keeping their purse close to them, or they be giving me that look. They're like, oh yeah, because sometimes as black people we'll be loud. We're loud when we talk in the street. We're loud. So basically, they be giving us this kind of look. And basically that's pretty much it from what I've really suffered. I don't know if I've suffered from it in a different way. Sometimes people be making those comments, it's like, because I'm Haitian, and then they be like, you Haitian, dancing is in your blood. You feeling me? And it's a kind of a stereotype. Like every Haitian people must know how to dance. Every Haitian people must know how to move. They must have the rhythm. And sometimes it's like ignorance from those people. So I'm like, I make this kind of silly laugh. I'm like, yeah, sure. I don't wanna go into them and be like, no, I don't wanna put an argument with them. So I'm just like, okay, it's fine.
And what would you say is like the best thing about the community work that you do for the youth and like the biggest challenge that you have?
Okay, the biggest it's actually helping them because what they are going through, I actually went through it when I came here. Like I told you, I went to school and I came home. I went to school and I came home. I never really had any activities. It was just me, myself, and I was like living in my bubble. There was nothing for me else to do. But when I started doing voluntary, I could actually help those children get acquainted to Canada, get acquainted to the community, because there's a lot to do in this community. There's a lot of activities they can do. There's a lot of help and resources that is available to them. But the fact that they don't know that those resources are available to them, they ended up sometimes they might be in trouble, but they don't know what to do. Because when I came here, my family and I, we were on our own. We didn't have like people to actually help and support us. So the fact that I'm able to do that to others that came from a lot of countries, it's actually very rewarding for me. And the biggest challenge, it can be sometimes the barrier language, because sometimes I don't speak the same language as them. And then sometimes they may be like, when you get into a places, you're always trying to find people that looks like you, that speaks the same language as you. So sometimes there's people that be trying to find people that looks like them, that talks the way the same way as them. When I can't do that, it's kind of it's challenging to approach them and to actually be very supportive to them. But at the end, I always find a way to always be there for them and help them in the best way I could. It's sometimes it's a lot of work. You might need somebody that looks like them or speak like them to help you to get to them. But and then it will always be very rewarding to help them out.
That's really great. That sounds really like rewarding and fulfilling.
It is actually, because I actually started voluntary work because one of my friends just told me, you know, let's do voluntary work. I was like, why would I do that? And the friend was like, you know, it's gonna look good on your CV. I'm like, oh hell yeah, count me in. And then when I started doing it, I actually fell in love with it. So that's why I like, it's a lot. It's a very rewarding feeling just to meet new people, just to have like people with the same culture or different culture. We'll be having like discussion, like with my Arabic friend, we'll be talking like the difference in the Bible or in the Quran. And it's actually very, very fun. And I actually love the community work I actually do.
That sounds amazing, really. What would you give as advice to like a young, like black or like person of color immigrating to a new country? Like, what would you tell them?
Wow. Okay. That's a good one. I've never thought of it. The thing is to not be in your bubble. Because if you stay inside of your bubble, you will never find the pleasure, and you will not feel like home, because when you move into a new country, you're here to stay for a long time, often that. So try to make it like home. If you don't try to make it at home, you will find it very long, very difficult to stay here. So basically try to, I don't know, get involved, at least get to people that is similar as you, that speak the same language as you, and then they will help you find a way, because all alone you won't be able to make it. That's the problem.
That's great. And for people who don't necessarily like actively do like community work right now, but are like interested in trying to like help people around them or like share resources and stuff, what do you have any ideas of what people say? Like if I were to tell like the McGill community, here's what you can do to help, what would you say people can do like from their homes, or like that doesn't take a lot of time? Like, how can people get involved?
I don't actually know, because most of my works are always in person community work, because I always work with the community, because I like to be in the community. I like to be with them, to talk to them, to physically be there for mm-hmm. them. So basically I can actually tell somebody, but I think, if you search online, there's probably community work that you can do, because I remember when COVID started, one of the community work was to call the elderly and then talk to them, which is something that doesn't take much time. It's just to say, hello, how are you feeling? How was your day? So this is like a great way of helping the community, because the elderly, they were the one that got most traumatized by the COVID. So basically doing this is like very helpful to them. So it's one way I think somebody can actually help the community without leaving their home or taking a lot of time. Just talk to an elderly for like 5 minutes. They will feel absolutely great. They will appreciate it. They will be so happy, because they don't get to see their family in those dark moments. Mm. So that's why they are very happy when somebody calls them and just talk to them.
That's a really great idea. That's a really great initiative. What would you say, like, what was the hardest part of like when COVID started? Was it what group were you guys under? Was it like an essential worker? Did you guys have to do like remote? Like, how was that working?
The thing is, when COVID actually started, we had to stop working at all entirely, because most of our work was basically at school. And then sometimes we'll be having work with the community, but because COVID started, everybody was from home, so we could not work, we could not actually impact in the community. So it was basically very, very hard not being able to do all the activities that we used to do in the community. So it was very hard, but we had to stop every movement that we used to do.
And did you like notice patterns of like certain groups of people being more affected by COVID than others? Like, were you able to observe that at all? Or like, because you guys were off like online and like not seeing each other, were you not able to like notice patterns?
We're not very able to notice that. I mean, just among us youth, we could actually see that there was like a difference in COVID, because like a lot of youth, like in the media also, they said it, youth are very traumatized by COVID. You know, it has a lot of side effects on them. So I think we didn't really see it in the community, but mostly amongst youth, we could see certain difference in them. Absolutely.
And you said you're also a student, I think?
Yes, I'm also a student, yes.
Yeah. And how's your experience at Concordia?
I'm not studying at Concordia.
Oh, you're sorry. I thought, sorry, I'm wrong email chain. how would you say your experiences as a Montreal student?
Let me see. Well, I would say it's different. It's kind of different from the US. I would not lie. It's very different. Because when I came here, because in the US, when I was in high school, basically when you get into school, you know, they give you like computers. They give you computers since high school. You have computers like for the 4 year of high school. And then, you know, we do most of our exam on computers. We don't mostly use paper a lot. When I came here in Canada, and then it was like, man, I feel like I went back to the old ages because it's not the same system. So basically we use a lot of paper, we use a lot of book. While comparing to the US, we don't use much book when we were in high school. Book, I would forget about books. And then when I came in Canada, it was like, oh no, I gotta get back to that. It was like heavy backpack. I had to have like 10 notebooks. It was like crazy. It was very, very crazy. But it was pretty fun. Actually, it was pretty fun to see both systems. And after when I got to college, I actually like college, which is very, very good. I like college. It's a new experience. You get to see new people. And it's actually pretty fun. I would not lie. It's fun being a student.
And what college do you go to in Montreal right now?
Okay. I was going to Dawson College right now. And then I'm stopping for like a year because I'm studying like a mechanic. So after I'm done studying mechanic, I will go back to college.
Okay, cool. And at your like Dawson College, did you notice any like, is it like a segregated space? Is it like very like people stay within their own groups? Did you find like the teachers to have any like forms of discrimination or bias? Like how was that experience?
Okay. So basically I was studying in social service. So basically in social service, teachers, they don't have like bias or everything like that. They are trained to be open-minded. They are trained to do things differently than other people would do things. So in social service, actually the teachers were actually very, very great. They are amazing. Yeah, they are very amazing. They are mostly white people, even though they are actually amazing. They hear, they understand our traumas. They try the best. They try the best they could to help us feel in a safe environment. Because in social service classes, everything that is said in the class must stay in the class. Because a lot of us show our traumas, we show what we went through as different diversity we were. And it was very amazing. The social service should be something that is that has more students and more people recognizing it, because we do a lot of work in social service. It's pretty amazing.
And would you say that it was like a diverse group of students? Because you said the teachers weren't very diverse, but were the student body for social service diverse?
No, the students weren't diverse also. Mostly it was female white students. I was, I think I, there was only, were two black men in this class, and then there was another man. So that was basically it. It was mostly white female student, and then there was like maybe one or two black female student in this class. So social service is actually, because I was looking at research, psychological thing in general doesn't have many black people. So there doesn't have many diversities. I think as black people, we're kind of afraid of everything that is psychologically related, because I've always heard like black people don't see psychologists. It's a thing. It's a thing in the society. If a black people go see a psychologist, they'd be like, you're tripping. Why are you see a psychologist for? You know, because we tend to be very resilient as black people. And basically talking about traumas, talking about what things we face, it's a big sign of weakness in the black community. So that's why, when I made the research, mostly psychologists in general are 70% white people. And then I think black people is about like 4.3%, which is very, very, very low. So That's the thing.
And would you like, would you encourage like young Black youth to like seek out like psychologists and therapists and things like that?
Absolutely. Because me personally, when before I came to Canada or anything like that, I was like, bro, I'm strong. There was no way in hell I would see a psychologist. Nothing can make me see a psychologist. I wanted to be a psychologist, but I don't want to see one.
Oh, interesting.
I want to be a psychologist, but I don't want to see one. There's no way in hell I would see one. I was like, my mental health is always great. Things happen, I swallow it, and then I went on with my life. It was always like that.
What made you change your mind?
I faced like some hard times. Mm. I didn't see a psychologist specifically because I won't be lying. The psychologist I see, it wasn't pretty great. It wasn't pretty great. Absolutely, he made me see everything that I would not do as a psychologist.
Okay, that's an interesting experience. Unfortunate. Would you say that the psychologist like lacked understanding of like the specific Black experience, or was that not really a factor?
Not only the Black experience, but the men experience in general. Because as men, because when I went to see the psychologist and then he was talking about what happened in the past, and then, you know, I would give him like very short, not short answer, but answers that might seem very little to him, but was very big to me. So it was like, nah, you didn't face that much. Then, you know, it might be just a little moment of letdown. And then I was like, oh, yeah, sure. After that, I never see the psychologist again. And I was like, okay, sure. That's the thing with psychologists, because I went on. I didn't want to see a psychologist at all, because I was like, what is he going to do to me? What is he gonna do? He's gonna talk to me for 5 seconds, and then after that, what's gonna happen after that? And it's exactly what happened. I went on, talked to him for a few minutes, and after that, I never talked to the psychologist. And then that's it. That was over. So you can understand why Black people, they have trouble seeing a psychologist, because psychologists actually help them out.
And how do you think we can like get, like, because like the youth is one thing, but how do we get like older generations with like more like deeply ingrained ideas of like, you like, if you're like seeing a psychologist, like you're weak, like it's for white people, like it's not for us. Like, how do we get older generations to kind of undo that way of thinking and like seek out help and like better their mental health?
They need more models. They need more models. That's simple as that. They need more models. And then what we actually need is groups with parents. We have to talk with the parents, because Black parents, they just passing on what was passing on to them. So it's like generation after generation. So we have to break the cycle with one of generation. With our generation, we have to try to break the cycles. Because me, our poetry, usually when I started writing poetry, I was writing a lot about love. But after that, growing up, I understand there's like mental health is something that I must talk about, because I feel like it's something that is very not talked about enough. People be like, you know, mental health, yes, they'll be publishing things on social media, but don't really understand the deep meaning behind what is mental health. So what is being a Black person? What is being a Black person with mental health? Being a Black person is already a burden sometimes. And being a Black person with mental health is double the burden. And being young is triple the burden. So basically, we just need people, we just need a whole model that will show the new generation that it's okay to be Black, to have mental health issues. Because we do have them. We do have them. We just carry them on for our entire life, never talk about them, never find the right people to talk about them to. So that's why I'm very interested in the psychology field, because I want to be like this example that I can be a Black man, I can have mental health issues, so I can talk about my feelings, because they teach us not to talk about our feelings. That's the main point. We don't talk about our feelings. Something happened, you stay with it, you swallow it, and then life goes on. So that's why women work in that of models, a lot of Black young models, to show the new generation that they can do things in psychology field too.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for participating in Black Talk. We really thank you. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for coming.
No problem. That was very fun.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
World feels like a war. Tell me what living's for. Baby, it's gotta be love. I'ma give mine to you. Call me anytime you want. We'll be right back. The ground that you walk down below your pedestal. My mind puts you on to a throne. Soon enough, I'll outgrow. Didn't know my feet were too big for my shoes. Running in them led me to bruise, falling over. With my fingers and toes turning blue, so afraid of cutting me loose. You're holding on to me, you're holding on. Do West, I'm headed on this road. Do West, just cruise as far as I can go to California, California, California. Never looking back, goodbye. A list of all the reasons why. Thank you.
call me when you need something. I need to be free. Time to spread my wings. I don't like leeches. All that nonsense gonna get back with ya. Don't got time for snitches. You're pulling me down, but you was my sister. My strings propagate through space and time, here and there at the same time. Hand dimensions and basic rhyme. You ain't gotta be mad. Look deep and go higher when you climb. But stay out of my path, but stay out of my flight path. Never feeling lonely, only gliding, flying. Always being constantly reminded. Time is running up, don't waste your luck, sucker. This is my life, don't mix that up. This is my light, don't block the sun. This is my seat, can't you tell? This is my time, don't waste it up. This is my land, not for sale. Desert air blowing through my hair. As we blow through the square, we don't even care. Dirt roads and bare feet, tied to memories so sweet. Mesmerized men at my feet. Let's go to the top, just you and me. As the sun hides and fog takes over, I called it African November. Don't wait for me, son. Don't wait for me. Don't wait for me, son. No, don't wait for me. My strings propagate through space and time, here and there at the same time. Hand dimensions and basic rhyme. You ain't gotta be mad. Look deep and go higher when you climb. But stay out of my path. But stay out of my flight path. Never feeling lonely, only gliding, flying. Always being constantly reminded. Time is running up, don't waste your luck, sucker. This is my life, don't mix that up. This is my life, don't block the sun. This is my seat, can't you tell? This is my time, don't waste it up. This is my land, not for sale.
Walking out of town on the floor, making things rain, gonna go. Niggas get down and they feel it on their face. Down, 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 don't you know?
CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
The bar open. Don't even worry about it.
I don't like it. No, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like your energy. You don't have to say it that way. You're gonna have to keep the peace, or you're gonna have to clear my space. If I'ma take a beating, it's cause you was in my way. But if you wanna stay the lead, you're gonna have to learn my pace. To place, I follow my face. That makes it okay. Sun up to sun down. Keep the world around. Healing's in the now, yeah. Meditate in the morning, in the night. By the water, it's important. As you know it, and I know it, yeah. I came down in the forest, in the sources, in the gray. In the waterfall, just born right you. I cannot focus on the things that I cannot change. Go like the wind, the time that falls my mind. Words I can't say. No, we keep a lie in my eyes. All what I think I do see. Great sad night, the deepest rise. But I lay deep, it's true, it's true. I don't like your energy.
I don't like it.
You don't have to say it that way.
I don't like it.
You gon' have to keep the peace.
I don't like it, like it.
Or you gon' have to clear my space. If I'ma take a beat, then you